This year, we're talking about what the Bible really says about. And we're beginning a new sermon series today, and it's called The Main Things in Jesus' Words. And each week for the next 5 weeks, we're going to talk about something from each of the four Gospels and then a wrap-up week. So today, we're talking about Matthew and the risk that he shows us about in the Gospel of Matthew. From the very beginning, we're going to start with a story that takes place right after. You know that business with the wise men who come to see Jesus when he's just small? The wise men come from far away and they go to Herod first, King Herod, and tell him they're looking for a king. And Herod doesn't like that at all. And he tells them that after you find this king, come back and tell me about him so that I can, worship him as well. And of course, the wise men get wise, and after they worship Jesus, they head home another way. But Herod is not happy about that. And so we learn that right from the beginning, Jesus' life is at risk, and there are challenges to him and his family. And then in a few minutes, we're going to hear a passage from the Sermon on the Mount that challenges us to take the kinds of risks that Jesus is bathed in throughout his life. I need you to know, too, that I'm going to spend a little part of the message talking about the Judicial Council decision that we found out from the United Methodist Church on Friday as it relates to the future of the United Methodist Church, and that has some sensitive material in it. It's not the whole sermon, it's a little piece, but I want you to know that I'm going to be addressing that in the message today as well. So we're going to start with this passage from Matthew chapter 2.
Now after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated. He sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled, because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene, the word of God for the people of God.
Our second scripture reading for today comes from Matthew 5, 43 to 48. You have heard it said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. These are the words of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Blessed are you, O Holy One, the beginning and the end. Pour out your Spirit on us. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Amen. So I wanted to update you on something I talked about last Sunday on Easter with the children. I had my jar with one chrysalis in it, and there was one survivor from the butterfly or the caterpillars and that I had been raising for several weeks. And this chrysalis was in this jar. And on Monday morning, April 22nd, the day after Easter, the butterfly emerged. And so you see the empty chrysalis there, and there's the butterfly. It was a small one, flapping his wings, drying out. We put the jar in this mesh butterfly enclosure that we have with the door open, and the butterfly hung there until the afternoon. It seemed kind of reluctant to take the risk to fly out. So in the afternoon, I put it on my hand where it sat for just a few minutes, and then it took the risk and it flew, gone to do what butterflies do. You know, part of what I have loved about raising and watching the butterflies is that it is symbolic of our faith. Out of what seems dead in that chrysalis, out pushes a risky new life, a reminder that God is always doing a new thing. Watching butterflies come out of the chrysalis, push their way out, and dangle there on the edge. They dangle from the empty chrysalis and then start to walk around it. They dangle there. It reminds me that birth is a risky business. If they stayed in the chrysalis, they die. We humans leave the safety and the warmth of our mother's wombs, and we push our way out into the world, a new thing. It's as if we have challenge and risk in our very being to push past safe places to new things, to new life. If we stayed in our mother's wombs, we wouldn't live, and in fact, neither could they. But it's a risky challenge, being born. And then we humans need a lot of care in our early lives, don't we? A lot of care. Parents and others do all that they can to keep us safe, to provide for us, to nurture us, and to teach us. We've had a lot of practice with that with our little 2.5-year-old foster grandson over these last couple of years. We've had this privilege of working to keep him safe and to provide for him and to get him to take little risks in life. You know, people give so that we can live. They take the risk to love and care for us as little humans, and it takes teamwork, doesn't it, to get those little ones raised up into grown-up human beings. Well, how about Jesus, Mary, and Joseph? Mary and Joseph did all of what I have just been describing for Jesus and more. Before he was 2 years old, after that visit with the wise men, Joseph learned in a dream that Jesus' very life was at risk. And he packed up his family and he fled to Egypt to protect Jesus. This is the first of many risks that were a part of Jesus' life. They risked, Mary and Joseph risked their own lives in order to save his, to keep him safe. They stayed with him. They taught him about meeting challenges and loving him. And even after the immediate threat to his life was over, Mary and Joseph risked themselves to provide and care for Jesus, whose life seemed to be bathed, soaked in risk and challenge. Well, Jesus grew up. We don't know much more about Jesus' childhood. And then one day we find him on a hill on the shore of the Sea of Galilee with people, with us, people like us, all around him. and he's teaching things that we would not expect, challenging people in what has become known as the Sermon on the Mount. He's teaching about a bunch of challenging things, and then he says, we heard Pastor Evie read it in the New Revised Standard Version a few minutes ago, but this is how Eugene Peterson says it in the Message. You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and the unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that, says Jesus. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer, for then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. God gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and the bad, the rich and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner does that. In a word, what I'm saying is, grow up. You're kingdom subjects. Now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously toward others the way God lives toward you. And we're sitting there with Jesus on the mountainside by the Sea of Galilee, our sweet Jesus. And we say to ourselves and one another, we can't do that. We can't do challenging, risky things like that. We can't. And Jesus says, oh, yes, you can. I am bringing a new thing to birth. A risk-taking, challenging thing. And I need you to join me in it. That's what Jesus says to his followers on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. You know, much of what Jesus does challenged people then and challenges us now. He touches people no one else would touch. He holds children in a time when children were nothing. They were considered nuisances. He tells us not to judge others, to let God do that. He walks and he talks and he teaches and he provides and he protects. And he lives and he dies and he lives again. And then he says the most challenging thing of all. Don't you see? I love you. Don't you see? I love you. I love you and you and you and you, Jesus says. And I need you to walk with me and learn from me. I need a team with me, and I want you on it. He knows how to meet challenges and take risks and to nurture us to do that too. You know, some of you know that I am a baseball fan. We're going to have a little interlude here. It's going to connect in about 1 minute. Some of you know I'm a baseball fan. I love baseball. I grew up in the Detroit Tigers, but now I'm a Diamondbacks fan. I love watching it for a whole bunch of reasons. I love that it can be slow. Very slow. I know that drives some people crazy, but I love that. I love that then all of a sudden it's fast and things happen quickly. I've been known to say that I love baseball because the whole point is to make it home. Recently, I realized something else that I love about baseball. For really good teams, it takes every member risking themselves for the whole team in order to achieve their goal, which is to win, of course. If you're the batter and a 95-mile fastball is coming toward you, you take the risk to swing that bat and run as fast as you can when you hit that ball in order to do something for the team. It takes one person diving for the ball in the field and then throwing it just right to the first baseman to get the out. Many moments are challenges and require risk for the whole to succeed. You get what I'm saying, don't you? You got it. That's all a little beside the point, but here's the point. Jesus showed us that it takes risk to love. It's challenging to bring something new to birth, and God puts those challenges in front of us all all the time, asking us to risk working with God and with each other to bring about God's love in the world, to risk as God has risked loving us. Here we find ourselves on the brink of something new with our United Methodist Church. We talked about the waiting chrysalis, and we just celebrated the empty tomb, and it's a risky moment for us now, a challenging time. This week, the Judicial Council of the United Methodist Church, which is our Supreme Court, made some rulings, some decisions, based on the traditional plan for the future of the United Methodist Church, which was passed at the Special General Conference back in February. The purpose of the Special General Conference was for the 864 delegates there to make decisions about our church's relationships with LGBTQ people. And when the traditional plan passed, it was immediately referred to the Judicial Council for a ruling on whether all or parts of it were constitutional based on our United Methodist Church's constitution. This week, the Judicial Council ruled that some parts of the plan are constitutional and some are not, and also ruled that an exit plan, a way for churches to leave our United Methodist Church, the exit plan was constitutional. Some parts of the plan that were ruled constitutional are very restrictive, providing penalties for pastors who officiate at same-gender weddings or bishops who ordain openly gay people. Other parts of the plan were ruled unconstitutional. In other words, the Judicial Council's rulings made no one completely happy. So here we are. Here's what I think. It is time to stand fully with Jesus, who broke things open, even death, who stood with those who hurt, who faced challenges openly, and risked himself all the time for God's love to be known in the world. It's time for us to stand fully with Jesus, who shone through the cracks in people's lives and brings light and hope, not judgment or hatred. For me, that means that we here at St. Mark's continue to work to include all God's people in our life and ministry. I believe that's what standing with Jesus means for us, and it's a risk. It's challenging. It's challenging for all of us to truly follow Jesus, but I want people to know that they are welcome and included here. So right now, here's some of the things we're doing. We have started some conversations with our gay and lesbian church people to hear about the best ways to learn more about them and to include them, to help us better understand about them. We're planning conversations with parents and families of gay, lesbian, and transgendered people. What are the things you've had to wrestle with and risk in order to love your children and grandchildren, your sisters and your brothers? Are you willing to help us lead conversations? And I also want you to know that I have been invited, and it is a great honor for me, I have been invited to go to UMC Next, a gathering of 600 people from across the United States, meeting May 20th to 22nd at Church of the Resurrection in Leawood, Kansas, where Adam Hamilton is the pastor. This group of people will be dreaming together about what Methodism should look like going forward, and how we create a dynamic kind of Methodism that welcomes all people, is focused on inviting people to faithfully follow Jesus, and inspires us to have a personal, passionate life of faith. Conversations will take place there. Out of the 2,600 people that were nominated, 600 of us get to go. And then we get to come back and help to lead you and others into our future. It is a great honor, and I look forward to it with great anticipation. You know, there's more that we are and will be doing. I know that some of you are angry and many of us are afraid and uncertain about the future of our church. And we are grieving because the United Methodist Church as we know it is changing. But you know, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. Jesus' very life was threatened and they risked packing him up and taking him to Egypt. What a challenge. And God was with them, guiding and leading and providing protection and then bringing them back so Jesus could take risks and do the work that was set before him to bring God's love into the world. I have devoted my life to the United Methodist Church. I take to heart the teachings of John Wesley, our founder, who said, "No more to those who left out the poor and the sick and those on the margins and those who refused to risk for Jesus' sake." Wesley called us to love God and to love neighbor and to take risks to do so. So here at St. Mark's, we're going to do what we do. And we're going to do even more of it. Today, we're going to pack 10,000 meals for Rise Against Hunger. Next Saturday, we're going to do Market on the Move next Saturday morning. And that's what Lena wanted to share with you about. See Lena right back there? Raise your hand. If you want to sign up for Market on the Move, you see Lena next Saturday morning in our parking lot. We will do all those things and much more, and we'll baptize. And in a couple of weeks, we'll confirm, and we'll teach, and we'll worship, and we'll thank God for all of it. We're not going to talk about this big church stuff every week, only once in a while, because we're going to be busy standing with Jesus and risking to do his challenges and risking our lives and our service for the sake of Jesus' love in the world. This is why we've been talking about our second sight, taking the risk to go to a second site for St. Mark's. But we need a location in order to do that. You know, for a while, I have felt in my bones that God is already working to do a new thing. That perhaps this United Methodist Church needs to be broken open and remade by God with our help. That we need not to settle for what is, but join God in what God is doing. There are challenges and risks and decisions to be made in the future, but God is with us, bringing new things to birth where all are included. I am planning to be here to see what God will do with this St. Mark's and you and me. I'm planning to be here to see what God is doing and be part of it, and I hope that you are here too. Thanks be to God. Amen.